Welcome to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga, a teaching ministry where believers are trained to be established in the truth of God's Word. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.thepastormax.ng.
You know, the last scripture we talked about were in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So let's turn our Bibles there. You should do a revision there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 1, 2. It says, verse 1 says, Paul as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and sustains our brother. Verse 2 says, to the church of God. So you see that reference, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. So the church of God was at a particular place. It says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. So we said, as we said when we started the series, that the church of God must have a particular location. Praise God. The church of God, which is at Corinth. Then it says, to those who have been sanctified. So he identified those who make up the church. He identifies those who make up the church. He says, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. Right? Saints by calling. So those who make up the church are those who have been sanctified by Christ. And what does it mean to be sanctified by Christ? These people have received Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. These people have received Christ. Those who are sanctified by Christ, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are Lord and ours. So everyone that calls on the name of the Lord Jesus, praise God, is now part of the church. Then Paul says, in every place. So it's not only those who call on the name of the Lord in Corinth that are Christians, that are members of the church. So Paul was referring, well, first of all, to the universal church. Then he narrows it down in this particular place. He was referring to the church in Corinth. And he says that all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, is part of this church. Now, when Paul was referring to the church, he used several metaphors. Okay, so we're going to deal with one today. He refers to the church as the body. He refers to the church as the body. The body. He uses the metaphor of the body. So the Bible doesn't just tell us to join a church. Right? The Bible actually talks about the relationship between the church and its members with a series of metaphors. Now, one of the things you must identify is, when you look at all the description in the New Testament that the Bible uses for the church, there's nothing like self-sufficiency, there's nothing like isolation. The Bible never describes the church using words of isolation. You know, so some people say, for instance, I am just serving God, I am not doing church. You see, you're not serving God. You can't serve God on your terms. And that's very important. You know, we cannot just wake up and decide how we're going to serve God. Praise God. We cannot wake up and decide how we're going to serve God. Say, well, you know, I love Jesus, but I don't like his church. It's like, imagine somebody coming to you now and says, I love you, but I don't love your children. How will you feel? Right? Someone just walks into your house. Right? You're married, you have kids, and someone just say, you know what? I love you, but I don't love your children. Are you going to feel good? Come on, talk to me. Are you going to feel good? See, when people say, I love God, but I don't love church, that's what they're saying. You see, you will never find a perfect church, because the church is a place of perfecting. I like what someone used to say. Say, when you find a perfect church and you join it, that church will become imperfect. You're never going to find a church that's perfect. The church is on its way to perfection, right? We are walking our way to perfection. So you cannot love God and hate his church. You see, let me tell you, if you understand what salvation is, you cannot be an effective Christian without the local church. a gathering of believers. That's the truth. That's the truth. So there is no metaphor that refers to the church in the New Testament that makes the church an isolated place, that makes the individual to be isolated without the church. It refers to it as the body. See, the body does not speak of isolation. It refers to us, you know, like our sister said, as the flock. The flock is not one sheep. One sheep does not make a flock. Right? They go on. One sheep does not make a flock. He calls us the temple. I mean, one candlestick cannot make a temple. Right? So every phrase, he calls us a family. A family. And we're going to deal with all this throughout this month. He calls us a family. One man cannot make a family. So there is no way God refers to the church in the New Testament where one man can just be church. No, it's a gathering of believers. You've got to belong to the local church. And I'll tell you something, right? When you belong to the local church, be committed. There's nothing like being in a local church and saying, I just want to be on my own. I just want to observe. My own is just to sit and watch. You're not serious. You've not understood what the body is. See, you would enjoy the adventure of the Christian faith when you get committed. That's why one of the things I do, especially when I plant churches and we start churches new, is to reach out to people and get them committed. Hey, you have to do this. Oh, you can do this. You know why? You see, if we don't get people involved, it's not because... Now, understand something. We're going to deal with it here, right? Understand something. Getting people involved in the local church is not so that they will not leave. You know, they can be a motive like that. Like, if I leave a leader now, you cannot leave. Let me tell you the truth. Anybody, any adult who wants to leave any place, you will leave, whether you make them leaders or not. Do you understand that? So, that should not be a motive. That should not be the motive of the pastor. That if I make this person a leader, and then you also should not have that motive. That if I'm not a leader here, I want to go to where I become a leader. No. You see, you are in the body, and you're placed in specific places to bring a supply. So it's just like, imagine waking up one day and your feet just tells you that, you know what, for the past 30 years I've been walking, I'm tired of walking, I want to start singing. How many of you will be so excited? Right? Just wake up one day and your feet starts talking. You're just hearing words from your feet, and your feet is just talking to you like, man. So good to be the mouth. Right? How do you feel? Some of you will run for your life. You see, that's how you should. You should be so confident in the supply God has given to you for the local church that you are okay there. You know, I tell people all the time in our local churches that, see, it's okay to remain, let me say for instance, an usher for the rest of your life in the local church. Sometimes we desire promotion, right? Because we feel that the part we bring is not as significant as some other parts. You see, but God has already given you a specific grace. So He refers to the church as a body. Now, by portraying the church and its members as a body, a temple, a flock, a family, the Bible forces us not to only join a church, but to consider how well our lives fit within this biblical imagery. Alright? So, the Bible did not just tell us, join a church. He didn't just tell us join a church. We don't join any church. No. He actually paints the fact that we are a body. We are a body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, go to verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. It says, for even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, or whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Did you see that? The body is not one member. Which means that when we come together like this, as the body of Christ under this ministry, we are one body. Our differences are swallowed up in the fact that we've been baptized into one spirit. That's why, you know, one of the biblical ways to look for a church is that there should be zero tribalism in a biblical church. You cannot have a church where, for instance, say the only people who can become pastors in this church are people from the tribe of the pastor. See, that church doesn't fit the New Testament church. Why? Because verse 13 says, look at this, look at verse 13, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, look at this carefully. It says, for by one spirit, how many of us, we were what? All baptized into what? One body. Whether what? Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. Which means that when we come into the body of Christ, our wealth does not even determine. The church is a place where you come in and, you know, there's no difference between the rich and the poor. There's no difference between the elite and those in low economy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because by one spirit we've been baptized into one body. We drank into one body. And why are we teaching these things? It's very important in your mindset that when someone comes in, you're not looking at the person from that mind. Is this one Greek or Jew? Is this one a slave or a free person? No. That's why Paul referred to, when he was writing to Philemon, he referred to Onesimus as a brother, even though he was a slave. He says, who is now your brother? He didn't say, who is now your slave? He said, who is now your brother? So, the Bible refers to us as one body. And if we understand this, it will affect how we act. It will affect how we react. You will see, you know, the church as a body you belong to. You will not see it as their church. It will change your consciousness. It will change how you approach the things of God. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go to Acts chapter 9. And verse 4. Acts 9:4. Right? I told you this when I was studying the subject. Acts 9:4 says, this was when Jesus appeared to Saul. Look at this. He says, and he fell to the ground. Talking about Saul. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I've told you before, who was Saul persecuting? The disciples of Jesus. You know, when Jesus came, Jesus did not say, so why are you persecuting my disciples? No, because he's one body. He is the head of the body. Right? Are you with me? Yes. Now look at this. It's if you're walking now and you hit your feet, right? And somebody asks you, you're not going to say, ah, sorry, it's that feet that was walking on his own. You're not going to say, so you're going to identify with the thing. Even though it's your feet or your toenails that hit the place, you're going to say, I'm feeling pain. You're not saying, the feet is feeling pain, but my head is okay. No. You see, we must understand that. You see, that's why we also tell people, especially people who play roles within the context of the local church, always think of the local church when you make certain decisions. Always think of the local church. Why? Because if your part is not supplied, the local church will lack that. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Never, you see, make up your mind as a child of God to never belong to a local church and you sit back. No. No. Always get committed. Find a place of commitment. And you see, I've always said this, and I'll say it all the time. There will never be a better time to serve God than today. There's no better time. Don't feel you're going to get more committed to God. Don't feel you're going, oh, when I have this, I'll get more committed to God. No, there's no better time to get committed to God more than today. So look at verse 4. It says, verse 5. And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. So Jesus identifies with his body. Jesus does not separate himself from his body. Are you following this? So that's why people cannot tell you, I just love Jesus, but I don't go to church. No, you are separating Jesus from his church. Jesus and his church are one. Praise God. God, are you here?
Yes, sir.
What did I say? Jesus and his church are one. You know, I was telling them something in body church during the week. And I said that, you know, there is an agenda against the church in our days that we must be careful of. The world was not designed to lack the church. So if you are expecting the world to talk good of the church, you will not find it. And I gave them a typical example. I said, imagine if you take 200,000 there and now and give to the church. Just put it all out, right? Don't do it, folks. Just an example, right? Just like, I was so happy on Sunday. I gave 200,000 as an offering. Of course, some Christians say, oh, wow, well done. But you know, majority of the comments you will get, you've been brainwashed. You don't need to give to church. You know, a lot of things will come, right? Just say, well, I went to the club on Friday and I bought this small, I don't know what kind of drink, a drink in the club, but I bought this drink for like 250,000. You're going to see a lot of comments. Wow, God, when is my turn? Big boy goes. A lot of celebration is going to come. And I gave them an example. I said, imagine somebody took 250,000, went to the club on Friday, bought a drink, he drank. When he was done, he could not pick his keys. He couldn't even see his way home. He became helpless. People had to carry him. Right? With all of that, people will celebrate that. You gave your money, and through your money, lives have been changed. Children are taken care of. Things are going on. Maybe life bills, things were paid in church. The world will consider you. I never follow what I'm saying. So, if you go by the standard of the world, you will never be committed to church. That's the truth. That's the truth. So you must make up your mind that you're going to be committed to the body. So Jesus identified. So for Paul, an individual Christian is neither isolated nor independent. A Christian is like a hand, a foot, a toe, you know, or any other body part, which is only as healthy as it is a part of the body. Right? If your kidney were taken out now, it's no longer be as healthy. The relevance of your kidney is the fact that it's part of the body. I know for some of you that you were just conscious now that you have a kidney. You know, because there are body parts we are not even aware of that we have. Praise God. What is the use of your fingers? If your fingers were cut off, right? Would you still really like your finger? Let's say, you know, your big finger was cut off. Are you still going to, you know, carry that finger to the pedicure, right? Or manicure saloon and say, well, this is my finger. I used to have this finger 5 years ago. I wanted to really take good care of it. No, you're not going to. Because the relevance of that fingernail, right, is when it's connected. Are you following what I'm saying? The relevance of the Christian is the connection to the local church. Are you with me? See, your beauty is in the local church. It's when you find yourself in the local community of believers. That's why when people get born again, they are encouraged to belong to the local church. That's why even with the dramatic experience that Paul had, what happened, he was referred to Ananias for discipleship. The local church is not man's idea, it's God's idea. So the beauty of the believer is in his connection to the body. Regardless of the parts, whether you're the eye, praise God. And that's why you see that sometimes God will ask, will join you to a particular church. And I'll talk about that. Because every man that God is called to lead a church, God is giving them a certain dimension of grace. I mean, it's not far-fetched to know, for instance, that if you belong to this local church, teaching and maturity is part of our goal. It's the biggest thing we have to offer. Why? Because that's the assignment, that's the grace that God is giving to us. Praise the name of the Lord. So our beauty, amen, our beauty is tied to our belonging to the body. Verse 15, 1 Corinthians 12. Go to 1 Corinthians 12 again. And let's go to verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. It says, if the foot says, because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. So regardless of what you say, right, it's not what you say that matters. It's actually who you are. So if somebody says, well, I'm a Christian, but not in any church. Please, the truth of the matter is that if you are a true Christian, you should be part of the local church. I'm not talking about being part of an online ministry. Part of the physical gathering of believers. Let's go on. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would be the sense of smell be? But now, look at this. God has placed the members, each one of them, where? Where? In the body, just as who desire? God. Look at that verse. God has placed the members, how many of them? Each of them in the body, just as he desires. So God places you where he desires. You know, sometimes it's at the end of your life, you will not see the trajectory of how God was leading you. Your being part of this local church at this season of your life is not a mistake. There's a reason God brought you. There's a reason out of all the multiple churches in the city, your heart feels comfortable here. Why? Because God is placing you, each one of us, in the body. God didn't place us in isolation. He placed us in the body. He placed us in the body, not in isolation. Praise the name of the Lord. So we are not placed. So everybody's part is necessary. So there's no excuse for self-pity, neither is that an excuse for pride. Okay? We cannot be proud of our parts. We cannot also have an excuse not to function in our part. So he says, let's look at verse 19. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these will be so more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacks. I like this phrase that Paul uses. He says, God has so composed the body. God has so composed the body. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, if one body suffers, one part of the body suffers, every part suffers. That's what Paul said. Verse 25 says, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another. The same care one for another. You see, one of the characteristics that you are now in the body of Christ is the care you have for your brother. For instance, how can you practice that in very clear terms? You're in church, for instance, and you find out a brother or a sister was not in church. It don't take you 3-4 minutes to check on them, why were you not in church? That's the care. That's the care that you have for the body. That's how you exemplify that care. The second thing is, if you're fed in a place, you're well taught in a place, you want to reach out to others so that they can also be fed and be blessed the way you are blessed. That's a care for the body. You see, you cannot practice Christianity in isolation. You cannot just come, get blessed, walk away, go home, sleep, and you don't care whether anybody comes in, you don't care whether anyone was blessed, you don't care if your brother was not in church. No, that you're not practicing being the body of Christ. Look at what the Bible says. It says, the same care. The same care. We may have the same care one for another. Which means that if you're a vital part of the body, you should be caring for someone. Hey, come on, are you here? Are you here? You should have that care for someone. You can't practice Christianity in isolation. It's not an individual religion in that sense. It's just me, myself, and I. No. It's not the pastor. The Bible didn't say, the pastor, we care for the member. It says, no, we care for one another. That's what makes it a body. That's what makes it a body. Praise God. And see, if you want to be the New Testament church, it's something we've got to practice. Look after someone. You were in church today, someone didn't show up. Say, hey, how are you? What's going on? I didn't see you in church. And show genuine care. Not just because they didn't come to church, but show genuine care. That's how the body functions. It's not just yourself. Don't be so self-conscious that you're not caring for someone else. Of course, this can also go into practical care, you know, support and the rest. But the truth of the matter is that before we even can support people, are we concerned about them getting fed spiritually? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, come with me to verse 26. The Bible says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. See how God connects us. That what happens to someone happens to us. And if they are honored, we rejoice with them. We don't get envious of them. Praise God. Someone in church gets blessed and you're envious that why is it not you? You have not understood the body. Hallelujah. You have not understood the body. You have not understood the body. So it's important that we understand that. So notice also that when we talk about church membership, we are speaking the language of Paul. The phrase church member is a biblical term. That's the term Paul uses from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 27. Paul uses the word member of the body. Member of the body. So you actually, a member of the church is a member of the body of Christ. A member of the church is a member of the body of Christ. Now understand that when Paul uses the phrase being a member of a member of a church, he's not just talking about the universal church. He was speaking about the local church because there he was referring to the saints of the church of Corinth. Because the way you give expression to your membership in the body of Christ, praise God, is through the local church. That's how you give expression to it. You cannot give just say, I'm a member of the universal body of Christ, right? And there's no local expression. You see, one of the things we have today is that everybody's trying to be a pastor. Everybody's trying to teach. Right? Everybody is an apostle. Everybody's trying to just start something. You know why? Because like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it seems like those are the ones we give more honor to. So if you are not a man of God, if you are not teaching, if you are not running a ministry, it looks like you are not honored. And so everybody wants to have a form of ministry or the other. We are no longer comfortable serving behind the scene in the body. We are no longer comfortable serving even if no one recognizes us. Even when we give, you know, that's the thing now. You know, people want to give so that the whole world will know that they're giving. We're no longer comfortable with secret giving. And these are things we need to restore. These are things we need to talk about. These are things we need to go back to the scripture and search. So Paul talks about the fact that we are members of one another. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, you know, Paul uses that phrase again. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. Ephesians 1, 22. Great, you know, the Pauline prayer where Paul was praying. It says, and he put all things, Ephesians 1, 22, and he put all things in subjection under his feet. Look at this, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So the body of Christ is what contains the fullness of Christ. The body of Christ is what contains the fullness of Christ. So Christ, as the head of the church, has authority over it and gives it direction. Christ is the head of the church. You see, let me tell you this, and don't ever forget it. Whatever you do for the church of God, you're doing for Christ. You're not doing for a man. You're doing it for Christ. When you serve, you're serving Christ. Jesus says, as you do this to the least, you're doing it to me, right? When he asks, when did we see you hungry? Because you're never going to. You see, when people say, I'm going to serve God with my life, you're never going to have that opportunity to serve God Himself without serving the saints through the local church. Right? It's as we serve one another in this church, that's how we're going to serve God. There will be no, you know, there will be no one day you're going to meet God and you really serve Him. No. When the Bible talks about God does not forget the labor of our love, it talks about in our ministry to the saints. You know, because John said so. John said, how can you say you love God that you do not see and you hate your brother that you see? You know what John was trying to teach you? People have this concept, I'm doing this for God, but I won't do this for this. You know, I love God, but I don't love this guy. That's not how God works. God is not a concept in our imagination that we can relate to without relating to His creation. Are you following this? You're not going to be able to serve God without serving the saints. Your service of God is manifested, is revealed, is worked out practically in your serving the saints. Your giving to God is worked out practically in your giving to the local church. Your commitment to God is worked out practically in what? In your commitment. That's why, for instance, I cannot say I'm your pastor, I love you, and I don't care about you. Are you following what I'm saying? What that means is I'm just using you as numbers to fill up the seats. That's what it means. Right? So that I'll say that I have a big ministry. No. I should care for you just as you care for me. That's what makes the body. So we cannot say we are serving God if we do not have a local church in which we are giving that service. See, let me tell you, there is no Christian who is not part of the local church, who is not a committed member of the local church, that is a serious Christian. That's just the truth. There is no Christian. There's no explanation you want to give me. You know why? Because the truth of the matter is that it is within the context of the local church God has designed service. See, do you realize that God would have redeemed us without coming down? Right? God could have just stayed in heaven, right? And just say, okay, Adam, you have messed up. You know? Wipe out everybody, created a new creation. But no, He didn't do that. What did God do? He came in the form of human flesh. Right? And the scripture says, He was tempted in all sides. He became flesh and blood. Hebrews says, so that He that justified and the ones that are justified will become of one flesh. So in our redemption, God identified with us. In your service, you must identify with the church. Are you following this? In your service, you must identify with the Lord. And I want to tell you, you see, for your own good, be committed to the local church. Have it as a cornerstone in your life. See, many times, sometimes when I tell people my schedule and what I do, you know, people really like, oh, you work very hard, you're very engaged, you're very... You see, I always say this, right? There is only one task God has given to me in this world, the preaching of the gospel. Find that as my purpose. Find that as what God wants me to do. You see, I'll pour my life into it. I'll pour my life into it. When you find your place in the local church, when you find your gifting in the local church, when you find your assignment in the local church, put your life there. You see, we still do not understand that God is a rewarder. God rewards. And how will God reward us? What will God reward us for if there is no labor? If we are just receiving, what will God reward you for? Right? You are just receiving. You are just receiving blessings. What will God reward you for? Can we go to Colossians chapter 1? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Colossians chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. If you are here, say amen. Alright, Colossians 1. Come with me to verse 18. He is also the head of the body. So I told you that every pastor is an under shepherd. Okay? But Christ is the head of the church. Right? He is also what? The head of the body. The church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. So Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. So one of the things that Christ did was to give the church grace gifts, to equip the church and to bring the church to maturity. But look at this. Come to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now look at verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. So this is not everybody. This is not everybody. He gave some out of the body. He gave some to lead, to guide, to teach, to train. Look at the purpose. Look at the purpose. Verse 12. It says, verse 12, For the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So the fivefold ministry, pay very close attention, was given to build the body of Christ. Can you change that to the NLT, the New Living Translation, very quickly? And let me show you something. The NLT. Look at this. Look at this. Can we all look at this? NLT, Ephesians 4:12. Look at this. It says, their responsibility, what's their responsibility? To equip God's people to do what? His work. Did you see that? Now let me ask you a simple question. Who is to do the work? Who is to do the work? The people, not the pastor. Look at this. Their responsibility, responsibility of who? Those fivefold ministers is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So who builds up the church? Not just the pastors, the people that have been equipped. So one of the ways you can tell if you are in the right place is to ask yourself, am I becoming more equipped to do God's work? Which means that all of you have been called to do the work. And my role is to do what? To equip you. Go to the next verse. Go to the next verse. This will continue. So, you see, the church will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we'll be mature in the Lord. You see, that should be the goal of every minister of the gospel, to mature the saints. Now look at this. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Go to the next verse. That they will no longer be immature like children who would be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. You see, one of the things that the local church grants you in is stability. You see, many people who are not grounded in the local church, you know what happens? Every new wave of teaching, they are following it. A new apostle comes, they are following this one. A new prayer pattern comes there. You see, when you are rooted and grounded in the local church and you are well taught, you don't follow every new teaching. You don't follow every new wave. You know, sometimes people, you see, one of the things that the local church does for you is to feed you consistently to be stable. It's like a child. So when a child is malnourished, that's when everything that the stranger has, he wants to eat. If you are well fed, if you are well looked after in your house, you shouldn't be running after any new wave of teachers, any new wave of doctrine, any new, you know, any apostle that is reigning. And interestingly, you will always have new apostles reigning all the time. Right? 5 years ago, some pastors were reigning. Right? In the next 5 years, new set of pastors will come. In the next 8 years, new set of pastors will come. See, you'll never be stable if you're always going after what is new. But what does the local church do? Feeds you daily. You get grounded. You get equipped. You get matured. You now help in feeding the new ones that are coming with the same thing. Paul says, the same thing I've taught you, says, commit this to faithful men who can teach others. The next verse. He says, go back to verse 14, please. Go back to verse 14 and finish that. He says, they will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that it sounds like the truth. Lies so clever that it sounds like the truth. You know, I was telling the saints, I was saying, you know what, today there's a lot of self-messages that are being taught that looks like motivation, right? Self, you can be anything you want to be in life, right? Self, take care of yourself, look after yourself. But if you read the Bible, you discover that the Bible calls us to crucify ourselves, to die to self. The child of God cannot be anything they want to be. The child of God should be who God has called them to be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You cannot just wake up and dream big. No, you must dream big within what? Within the boundaries of your call. You know, one day I was telling someone, you can go study. You know, you were studying Joshua. Everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread, I shall give it to you for a possession. I said, you didn't finish that verse. Right? You know what the next? God told him the boundaries. He says, from the river Euphrates. So, he gave him the boundaries of where he should tread. See, your dream must be within the confines of your purpose. Because there's something in the scripture called selfish ambition, where people just want to be something that God has not called them, God has not equipped them. From the beginning of your life, God has created you. Paul tells us that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus, right? To work in the things, I like the way the New Living Translation put it, the things He has planned for us beforehand. There is a plan, there is a God. Now, the local church helps you to find this. You see, when you come to church consistently, it looks like nothing is changing in your life, but something is changing. You begin to find teachings, you begin to guide you. You know, instructions will come. What's happening? God is using that community of believers to bring a supply to you. Verse 15, please. Go to verse 15. He said, we'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. Now the next verse. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. There is a fitting. Now look at this. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. Did you see that? Come on, did you see that, everyone? Did you see that? As each part does its own special work, what will that do? It will help other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This is the picture of the church. What is your part? What part do you bring? You see, there are some of you right here, you feel that the Lord is calling you to intercede, to just pray for the church. See, that's your part. I may not know that you're doing that, but that's your part. Remember what we read when we're praying? Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Paul says, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance, right? Because of what? Your prayers and the supply of the Spirit, or the provision of the Spirit. Imagine Paul is saying, the situation I am right now is going to turn around because my church members are praying for me. Hallelujah. Now imagine if those church members feel like, oh, this is Apostle Paul. We don't have anything to contribute to his life. He's a big man of God. What's going to happen? That supply of the Spirit is not going to come. You see, when you don't see yourself as a body, when you don't see yourself as a vital part of the local church, you will not bring in your supplies. You will not bring in the supply. So God has called every one of us as a body to bring in our what? Our supply. Hallelujah. Alright, let me give you a few things. The metaphor of the church being a body tells us several things. Number one, it teaches that believers are interdependent upon one another. It teaches that believers are interdependent upon one another. Paul says the eye cannot replace the role of the ear, and the ear cannot replace the role of the nose. We all need the nose. We need the eye. We need the sense of smell. So we are interdependent. To neglect the church by not using our gifts or relying on the gift of others is to disable the church and to spiritually impoverish ourselves. So, the key thing here is that we are interdependent of each other. We are interdependent of each other. So, we are interdependent of each other. We need each other. Number two, the body metaphor also teaches how Christ gets His work done on the earth. It is through His body that Christ gets His work done. So, it is through the local church, praise God, that God will get His work done on the earth through us. That's why I say every time we pray that God will help us to fulfill our assignment in the city. Because we know that God sent us to the city for an assignment. And you are part of that assignment. You have a part to play. And you've got to pray and find your part. Praise God. Come on, are you here? I said, are you here? Okay. So, as we participate in Christ's body, therefore, his work of building up believers is done. You know what we read in the New Living Translation? Look at it. He says he makes the whole body fit together. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. As you bring your supply, the whole body becomes healthy. So a healthy church is where everyone is supplying. Right? It's not where one person is just waiting to receive. Rather, it's where everyone is supplying. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Alright. So these are very essential things that I want us to note as we see the church as a body. So when we see the church as a body, one of the key things we must understand is that everybody will have to bring their supply. Every member. The scripture says every joint has a work to do. Every joint has a work to do. See yourself as a worker. See yourself to be committed to the body. See yourself that there is a supply you must bring. Don't be comfortable sitting back. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, if you've not been called to play a role, ask, what role can I play? How can I help? The church was not designed for you just to receive. No, 1,000 times no. The church was designed for all of us to bring our supply. Imagine you wake up, you know, in the morning, and your ear just said, I've been hearing for the past 30 years. I don't want to hear again until next year. You know how frustrating it's going to be, right? You go to work and you can't hear what your boss is telling you. What's going to happen? A lot of things are going to, you know, malfunction because you can't hear. But you get up, get dressed for work, and then your feet says, I'm not moving. Every time I'm always walking. Why is the hand not walking? And imagine, for a second, your hands go to your feet and your feet come to your hand. You know? Will you be so excited that you're a very special person to go out that day? You don't want to go out. You see, let's not try to put ourselves where God has not placed us. Let's stay where God has placed us, be content where God has placed us, and then we bring the supply that God has placed us to bring in the body. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. Lord, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We appreciate you for this local church. We appreciate you for the truths that you're sharing with us and through us. And we ask, Father God, that you will cause us to find our place. And Holy Spirit of God, that we will be a body of committed believers. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Can you say a good amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga. We encourage you to share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.thepastormax.ng. We would like to hear from you. Send us an email, info@pastormax.ng, or you can call 0805-888-7575. God bless you.